Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. According to my government-issued ID, that is me, Bill Arnold. I am so glad that you're with me today because we've got a fantastic hour coming up. I was just writing in my journal between hour one and hour two. I said, dear journal, hour one sure was fantastic. I'll write more when I get home. But my guest, Lance Hahn, he talked about having panic disorders and living with fear. And if you're familiar with that story, you might want to go to the website, myfaithradio.com. Check it out, and you'll hear lots of wonderful advice from him. And Shannon Martin was my guest. She wrote a book called The Ministry of Ordinary Places. In this hour, I cannot use the word ordinary at all with my in-studio guest. I have Dr. Glenn Pickering in studio, and there's absolutely nothing ordinary about him. He started off as an electrical engineer and decided he wanted to go back to school. If he goes back to school, would you think he was referring to seminary? He was. So he is a pastor and electrical engineer and a PhD in psychology, and he's got a lot going. And you put all those pieces together in his mind, and what comes out is some of the most amazing perspectives you'll ever hear. And today we're going to talk about inherent thoughts. And that's about as far as I can go because I don't even know what that means. So, Glenn, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get to inherent thoughts, nice to have you back, by the way.
Thank you.
And I want everyone to know that the lines are open. Glenn can take your calls, 877-933-2484. Glenn, you had a little nudging by the Holy Spirit, I think, on the way in.
In fact, I did. Thank you. I am going to talk to you today about epigenetics, which is a fancy way to talk about the way our experiences change our DNA, which is actually more interesting than you might think. Because I'm going to talk about how it directly impacts our relationships. But I did have that nudging coming in. I felt strongly like there's somebody out there who is going through a really hard time, who has a struggle in their relationships, who just really feels like, I wish I could talk to somebody about this. And if you're that person and I could be that somebody, then please call us at that number Bill just gave you.
877-933-2484.
And I would be so glad to chat with you right here.
I give it again, 877-933-2484. Now, Glenn, when you said epigenetics, I did nod off a little bit. I got to be honest, I nodded off just a little.
I have that effect on people. Yes, epigenetics, EPI, genetics, just means the way that our experiences affect our DNA. And it's so interesting to me. I first became interested in it like 10, 12 years ago. I read this fascinating science article. There are these geese. They fly south for the winter. Every year they go to the same place. One year, the place they usually go to is dried up. So they flew around, found a different place. Okay, they come home back here in the north, have babies in the spring. In the fall, those babies fly south for the winter, and they fly to the new place automatically, which blows my brains out.
No kidding.
And people say, well, you know, it's instinct. And I think that's just a really simple way of saying, I don't know what the heck's going on there. Now, and so what I want to talk about is the way that we inherit not just our hair color and the shape of our nose. We literally inherit the brain we start with, and we inherit the ideas in that brain. So people think, Glenn, sometimes these really icky thoughts go through my head. Are they God's or are they mine? And I want to say to them very clearly, they're not God's thoughts and they're not yours either. There are thoughts that go through the back of our mind, intrusive thoughts that we literally inherited.
All right.
They're not ours.
Kim, do you have Twilight Zone music? All right, let's take a little break, and we will come back and have this discussion with Dr. Glenn Pickering about epigenetics and the way our brains work, our inherent thoughts. This is going to be absolutely fascinating. If you are the person that Glenn referred to earlier, maybe you're just really stuck and you need someone to talk to, and Glenn is that somebody. 877-933-2484, or you can call with any question you might have for Glenn. We'll take a short break and be back with more in just a minute.
Our Faith Radio prayer team focus this week is for our marriages. Strong marriages are a bedrock of our society, and we're thanking God for this vital relationship and praying that our marriages would reflect Christ in every aspect of our lives together. We're also praying that God would restore the broken parts within us and give us grace to forgive the past hurts that create stumbling blocks to a stronger relationship. You can join with us in praying today by signing up for the Faith Radio prayer team at myfaithradio.com/prayer.
In our connected world, it's easy to get confused and distracted from what really matters. Stay grounded and connected to God's truth by downloading the free Faith Radio app. Use your mobile device to search for Faith Radio in iTunes or Google Play. Once you have the app, you can listen to previous programs or the live stream. Download the Faith Radio app now and keep growing in God's Word.
Welcome back to the show. So glad you're here with me today. Dr. Glenn Pickering is in studio, and we're going to have a wonderful hour of discussion about inherent thoughts. And so, Glenn, let's just break it down for our listeners. What do you mean by inherent thoughts?
I mean that we literally have thoughts that are not ours and that are not even the result of our experience. So, for example, I talked to an audience. I was talking to, like, I don't know, 80 people the other day. And I said to them, how many of you have a fear of heights? And about 40 people raised their hands, which is about how that goes. And I said, keep your hands up for a second. Out of you 40, how many of you, when you were a young child, got dropped from a very high place and got hurt terribly, which is why you're afraid of heights? Of course, none of them kept their hands up. So they have this fear, this belief that heights are really scary, despite the fact that it doesn't actually make any logical sense, and despite the fact that they've had no experience with that. So it's not because of their environment. It's not because of something they learned. They were literally born with that fear. And it's helpful for us to understand, because a lot of those inherited thoughts have a direct impact on our life, especially our relationships. And here's how come. You know, Bill, you've heard me say a million times about how everything goes, you know, think, feel, do. That we have our thoughts drive our emotions, and our emotions drive our behavior. So if our thoughts are off, or messed up in any way, then it's going to create some emotions and some feelings in us that are kind of messed up and lead to some behavior that's kind of messed up. And it's totally biblical, even if it sounds sort of like voodoo, because, you know, when Moses comes down and hands down the Ten Commandments, he says to people, basically, if you follow these commandments, your life will go well. Great. He says, and if you don't, it will harm you and your kids, and your kids' kids down to the third generation. Now, when I was younger and I read that in a more legalistic way, I thought that seemed harsh. Like, yeah, do it my way, I'll be good to you. If you're bad, I'm going to punish you, your kids, and your kids' kids. I thought, well, that's kind of mean. But I really understand. It wasn't trying to be mean. They're really trying to help us understand, why is it so important that we try and live our lives in certain ways? And the answer is because that will get handed down to our kids and our kids' kids. Because even I will have an impact, my brain will have an impact on generations that are here after I'm gone. So it's not just because of our modeling behavior, or the way that we think literally gets passed on. So, for example, I have many people who say, well, Glenn, I struggle with feeling like I'm not good enough. And if you're one of those people out there who actually has that feeling fairly often, like you make a mistake, or somebody's a little critical of you, or you do something wrong, and a thought goes through your head, I can just never get it right. It's never good enough. I want you to understand that thought is A, not true. B, it's not even your thought. You literally got handed that thought when you were born, and it has persisted in the back of your head ever since then.
Wow. So,
and see, if I really believe that I'm not good enough, of course it will affect how I feel about myself and how I treat myself and other people.
And I'm thinking right now.
I see that. So, that's okay. I treasure
thinking.
Call
dead air in radio, which I don't think is good. How good is it? Yeah, Kim's saying no. So it's fascinating, because right now I'm thinking that there's people out there that just heard that said, I can officially let go of a thought that I didn't even generate on my own. This
right.
was something,
right.
This is old mail that was addressed to
somebody else.
Right. And I'm carrying around the letter.
Right.
And not letting go of it.
Right. And And those thoughts can be so destructive to us. I think, you know, well, you know me, I work a lot with guys who are coming out of sexual addiction of some sort or another. And every addictive person, somewhere at their core, really believes that they're not good enough. And they tend to marry people who agree with them. So we both think you're not good enough. And if we're not careful, that cycle will just be so destructive to our relationship.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to the idea of the people who are afraid of heights, who had never had an experience, never dropped on their head, right. never, you know, was mm-hmm. in a situation where they were genuinely inclined to then have a legitimate fear.
Right.
There are certain conditioning, though. I mean, there's people that walk into a room and there's a snake in the room and they go, oh, a snake. You know, they don't have feelings one way or the
right.
other.
How They're interesting.
Not, uh-huh. How interesting. Right. Right. Others that walk in and go, I grew up on a farm. I had snakes as pets. Give me that. Let me hold it.
Right, right.
And other people are jumping out the window.
Right. Despite the fact that they have no actual experience with them one way or another.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. The fears that we have are almost all inherited, as nearly as I can tell. Which is so weird because they can just paralyze us. I mean, they can literally take over our life if we're not careful. And they're not even our thoughts. They're not even our fears. They literally got handed down to us in ways mm-hmm. that are really quite destructive.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me take a break. Okay. And then when we come back, we'll go to a question. We've got a listener on the line already. If you have a question as well, as we're talking about inherent thoughts, generational curses, we're going to talk about that as well, aren't we, Glenn? Breaking
yes,
those factors.
And generational goodness.
Generational goodness. This is a fascinating hour. Go nowhere. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome. We are in studio with Dr. Glenn Pickering today, and we're talking about inherent thoughts and anything else you'd like to talk about regarding a relationship. You're free to call 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. We have a caller on the line from Roseville who would like to remain anonymous. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm terrific. You have a question for Dr. Glenn Pickering?
I do.
Feel free?
Yeah. Yeah. So my question here, Glenn. So just a little bit of background information here. I struck up a relationship with a young man that was my age around high school. I want to say senior year of high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew him for about, 7 years. I knew him for a long time, palled around with him. We didn't have the healthiest relationship. This man was also, he's a narcissist, a little bit abusive too sometimes. But I guess my question is, this thought that just keeps coming back to me,
mm-hmm.
I've cut ties with this guy,
right.
A little while ago.
Okay.
And the thought that keeps coming back to me, is, if I cut ties with him, and I leave for good, then I'll be confirming, some of his worst thoughts.
Right.
I guess I don't know if you need me to explain that more.
No, it makes perfect sense to me. I get it.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the thought I've been struggling with.
Okay, that's a really great thought. So
go ahead.
Okay, let me just reframe that. So the question is, well, sort of twofold. A, I know I can't stay in that relationship because it's unhealthy, particularly to you, one. But two, then do you just walk away, which seems like it might confirm some of his most negative thinking about himself, or do you try and have a conversation with him about that? Which that's a really fair question and a great question.
So
let me reframe that second part. Should I have a conversation? Most people wrongly would say, well, maybe I should confront him. And I just want your thinking to be really clear. Nothing, and I mean nothing, ever comes out of that thought, I need to confront somebody about something. That's automatically a me against you conversation, and it will never go well.
Absolutely.
So if somebody wants to be helpful to me, I have to see that they're coming to me because they care about me, they want good for me, and they're just trying to be helpful to me. And so you have to just, first of all, before we step, because remember, everything goes think, feel, do. So you have to get your thinking clear. I'm not doing this to judge them, to be harsh with them, to be mean. I would love this person as a friend, and I would want to be helpful to him in some way if I could. So my thinking, if I'm you, has to be really clear. And I'm going to need God's help with some of that probably to overcome some of my own hurt feelings. So do all the praying you need to get your mind right about that. And then you can say to him, as a friend, here's something that happens that's often hurtful to me. So you're not judging him. You're just saying, this is what happens that's often hurtful to me. I'm just telling you what happens for me. Not judging you, not being mean to you. I'm just telling you, this is how it impacts me. Just so you know.
Yeah.
And then he's free to listen, not listen, do something about that, not. But at least you're coming to him as a friend. You care about him as a person. And you're just letting him know how the things he's doing affect you. And then he's free to listen or care or not care. And then you don't have to decide, should I do something about that relationship or not? Because you have now done what you can. And so you need to think now, okay, great. My work here is finished. So he can either reach out to me and say, hey, I want to work on that, or he can blow me off. But either way, it's not that I'm deciding what to do with them. It's that he's deciding what to do with them, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's a great call, and it's a great question and a great answer. Thank you so much for calling, and thank you, Glenn, for that fantastic answer. I want to get back to inherent thoughts.
Okay.
Because I am on a roll here with questions.
I
want to get to the idea of generational curses and how this factors into this thought of inherent thoughts.
Right.
Because if we are born with thoughts that have been pre-installed at the factory from previous generations, and we walk around with this mail that we don't want, that we don't know what to do with, that needs to be addressed.
Right. I think it's true, too. And I meant it when I said just before we go to break that although I believe in that generational curse sort of thing, I also think there's generational goodness. There's also a lot about me that's loving and caring and good and gentle that I also inherited. I didn't make myself those things. I am those things.
Hmm.
I was also born a total nerd. I didn't choose that either, but there you go.
was your dad a nerd?
Go through my extended family photo, pick any picture, ask me that question.
Okay. All right. So generational curses, generational goodness.
Right.
I would imagine both can be broken, changed.
They can be.
Yeah.
And here's what I know. The only thing that breaks us out of a lie is the truth. Now, so the only thing that can break me, let's say I have that belief that I'm not good enough. And many, many, many of us got cursed with that one, that some form of original sin. So just so you're clear, people say the original sin is that Adam ate the apple. And I think, no, it's not quite true. The original sin is that they believed they needed to. Remember, everything goes think, feel, do.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought, because the serpent convinced them that there's something wrong with them. They believed that, which made them feel ashamed, and then they behaved in certain ways. Now, so the actual original sin is not that they ate the apple. It's that they believe the serpent's lie that they're not good enough. Here they are in the perfect garden, perfect relationship with God's love all around them. Everything was exactly as it should be, and they still believe the lie that there's something wrong with them. And that lie has gotten handed down to all of us in one form or another, which is why when people talk about original sin, I think to myself, you don't get how true that actually is.
Now, they didn't necessarily want to ruin the world. They just wanted to be a little happier.
Right.
In the garden.
Right. Only because they thought there was something wrong with them.
Like they were missing something?
Yeah. So the serpent convinced them, you guys don't even know the difference between good and evil, for crying out loud. You call yourself good? Like there's something wrong with them. Not something, a mistake they made, that there's something wrong with them.
Did they see this as a self-improvement program? That maybe if I have this apple, I'll feel better because I'll be more knowledgeable?
Right. So here's the really wicked part of that whole thing. People talk about guilt and shame as if they're the same thing, but of course they're not. Guilt just means, hey, I look at my behavior. God convicted me. I need to do that different, so I'm going to do that different. Great. Shame says, no, there's something fundamentally wrong with me. And that is what the serpent said to Adam and Eve. There's actually something. It's not that you've been doing something wrong. There's something fundamentally wrong with you. And they believed that lie, and they felt ashamed. Right, because that lie that there's something wrong with you is the basis of everything that we call shame.
So it's safe to say the previous generation and the previous generation to that also felt the same way.
Yes. that we get handed down, so this whole sense that there's something wrong with us. Well, God says, Glenn, you are exactly as I made you. There can't be anything wrong with you.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to be asking you to take this idea of inherent thoughts and then apply it to situations where you grow up in a household where a parent is filled with anger or filled with drama.
Right.
And then that person goes on in their adult life to be filled with anger or filled with drama.
Right.
And don't you just look and say, they just learned from some pros.
Well, they did. So it's easy to say, well, because I grew up in that abusive family, that's why I think I'm not good enough. And I totally get it. It had an impact on them. But it had an impact on them partly because they already believed it. When people are critical of me in some way, and it just really, really hurts way inside, it's because I already believe that criticism.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Yeah. So how are our thoughts passed on to us?
It's an interesting thing.
I'm stuck on that a little bit.
Well, thank you. Nice segue. Every one of our brain cells recreates itself every 20 days. So that, and let's say I learn a new idea.
Every one of them?
Yep. So let's say I learn a new idea. And so the brain cells that are associated with that idea have been changed now, which is what happens when I learn a new idea. It changes those brain cells. When those brain cells divide and create a new one 20 days from now, they're going to create the new version of themselves, which is why all the books about how it's 21 days to a new to habit, et cetera, et cetera. That's why it's true. Because if I literally have a thought and stick with that thought 20 days in a row, all the brain cells that operate on that thought will now have created new brain cells that believe that thought.
Okay.
So, let's say I have a thought in my head that really is old and ugly about how I'm not good enough, and I don't do anything that changes that thought. When I have children, they get that thought. They inherit my DNA, and that's part of my DNA. They also get my hair color, sadly, and my balding scalp. But ask my daughter. All right, so thanks for the hair, Dad. So we inherit all that stuff, including the way our brain works.
Okay. Very interesting. I'm going to have to think about this more because I'm fascinated by this, about the ways in which we inherit our thoughts. So I know there's listeners out there that are in this place of wondering, am I doing the think, feel, do correctly, or am I feeling driven first? Because I've had conversations with people that say that.
Right.
My feelings always come first.
And it's never true, but some of those thoughts are so inherent in us, they go through our mind so fast that they trigger the feeling almost before we even notice it happening. That's part of why I talk with people about being what I call a second responder, because my first response, my first emotional response is always going to be driven by my oldest beliefs. If I want to be the person I actually want to be, I have to wait, slow down long enough, have a thought that I actually generate with God's help, and then do that.
Okay. All right. We've got a great second half hour coming up with Dr. Glenn Pickering as we talk about inherent thoughts. And if you have a question regarding what we're discussing, please give us a call, 877-933-2484, or a relationship concern or issue that's really at the forefront of your mind and you want someone to talk to. Glenn is that someone. Give us a call, 877-933-2484. We'll be right back. If you are like me, and I know I am, you are loving this hour. Dr. Glenn Pickering is in studio. He is talking about inherent thoughts and how we have generational curses and generational goodness, and this gets passed on. It's almost like it's installed in our brain from the beginning. So we're having a lot of interesting talk about that. I also have opened up the phone lines, and we've got a couple people already trying to get in and ask a question. Ann is on the line from Minneapolis. Ann, welcome to the program. I am so, so glad you called.
Dr. Glenn, yeah. I have just recently come out of a little health crisis the last several months, and in coming out of that, I'm examining my heart and myself and my sin and what's the reason, et cetera, and pretty settled with it.
Great.
I keep coming back to I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. I know he's forgiven me, died for me, saved me. But my relationship with my earthly father compared to my heavenly father, my dad's still alive, love him. We have a good relationship now, but he wasn't around growing up. So I don't know the love of a earthly father.
Right.
Mom was a, you know, alcoholic, narcissist, and, you know, difficult family home. But so I'm having a hard time separating what I've just gone through health-wise, thinking
right.
it's a punishment from God.
Mm.
And, you know, I know intellectually he loves me. I'm his child, but just don't feel it.
Right. Thank you for being so honest. I'm so glad you're on the air. And I think you probably put into words what probably 10,000 people are listening are also thinking. And so it's important to understand this. Those icky voices that go in the back of our head, as I said before, they're not God's voice, that thing that thinks you're getting punished. And it's not even our voice. So first of all, it's important to understand that's just an intrusive thought. It literally intrudes upon our life, upon our happiness, and even upon our thinking. So first of all, it's just important to understand, okay, that's an intrusive thought. Not my thought. It's not God's thought. I literally inherited that thought. Now, people say, well, how do I get rid of that? And I think, now I want to be careful about that because I was literally born with that thought. What I can do is I can get better and better at overriding that thought. So everything I do that helps me feel at peace or that helps me feel God's presence or helps me feel connected to another person or that lifts up my heart will take me closer to the truth. And so it's really important to think, what are the things that lift me up? Because I don't get rid of that icky thought by fighting that icky thought. Like I can't fight the darkness by fighting the darkness. I fight the darkness by turning on the light. So I would just urge you, just with my whole heart, to just think, what are all the things, people, events, or experiences that make you feel precious, good, or right? And how can you start doing as many of those as you possibly can?
Okay. Good. Good. Thank you so much.
And it's important to remember this. God doesn't punish you. God loves you exactly as you are. Exactly as you are. And God doesn't care about your mistakes either. He only cares about what we learn from our mistakes.
Right. Thank you so much.
You are so way welcome.
Thank you, Ann, for calling. I have another caller. Benjamin's calling in from San Diego, California. Hello, Benjamin. Welcome to the show. You have a question for Glenn.
Hi.
Hi. Feel free to ask.
This is really hard for me.
Sure. Okay. We're here.
I've been married for 13 years.
Okay.
My wife has been a narcissistic type abuser during that whole time.
Okay.
She told me the day after we got married that she didn't want to have my children after all, that she thought I would be an unfit father.
Oh.
She gaslighted me throughout my marriage to pull me away from a ministry that I had my heart set on and that the Lord had called me into,
mm-hmm.
and again, calling me back into.
Right, because God never quits asking. Very persistent.
On September 9th, she took my daughter, and I haven't seen her since.
Oh, my God.
I hired an attorney to try to help me.
Okay.
And that attorney victim shames me instead of trying to help me. And when I fired her, and I got an email from that attorney today after waiting 10, 12 days for my file to be delivered, and she says, maybe you need to get back with your therapist and your psychiatrist because you're being paranoid and delusional. And because she's, you know, they've been shaming me. They haven't been helping me.
Right.
And we had a case where we had to go to court to a hearing on a restraining order that my wife has, perjury-filled restraining order. And my attorney shocked me by going into the judge's chambers and talking about it, and the judge comes out with a decision. I have no idea what was discussed. And so I fire my attorney. It's like, what are you doing? Are you protecting me or are you protecting my wife?
Right.
And you know, I'm sitting here for the last 30 days or so begging God to tell me, what did I do? It caused me to lose my daughter. I've been nothing but a loving father and a loving husband. And I'm just so devastated. And this injury has just got so much evidence against her for her abuses. And I've had divorce attorney is turning me down because she's gone ahead and called most of the attorneys to keep me from getting an attorney. And therapists are turning me away. And I had a outpatient therapy program contact Child Welfare Services because I chose not to go through them. Wanted to try somebody else, look at somebody else. So they reported me because I didn't want to go through their particular intensive outpatient therapy program.
Okay, Benjamin, we got to put some boundaries around this. This is you've got a lot on your plate right now.
Yes, I do, and I'm just
and we're just
living under this condemnation.
So let's come back to that condemnation and that thought. So I get that, you know, she said the day after she married you, she didn't really want kids, blah, 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 you'd be an unfit dad, you're a bad person, et cetera, et cetera. The only part you need to look at is what part of that didn't make me think I need to get out right now? Because there's a part of us, if we think we're not good enough or we think we don't deserve stuff, and then when people treat us bad, instead of immediately putting an end to it, we tolerate it because on some level we think maybe we deserve it or that was our fault or that they should treat us like that. And so I hope you find a great therapist, to be honest, and I hope they're really, really strict with you about not tolerating any situation that your God-given intuition tells you is bad for you.
I know that we will keep Benjamin in our prayers. I mean, we pray as a staff all the time. And Benjamin, just know that you will be in our prayers. So thank you so much for reaching out and sharing your pain and your situation. It's very hard to hear. So we're very concerned about you as just as a brother in Christ. And just know that we'll be thinking and praying for your very, very difficult situation. You know, Glenn, I want to get back to this fascinating topic of inherent thinking because right. I just feel like if you can separate the difference between, and maybe I'm repeating myself, but I don't know, the learned behavior
right.
and the inherent thinking.
Right.
Because I know for a fact that I certainly have adapted some of my characteristics from my family of origin.
Right, absolutely.
And I come by those honestly.
Right. And the painful thing is that family of origin is the same person that gave you the brain you got. So you could say, well, because of my experience with them, I'm the way I am. And there's truth to that, so I'm not blowing that off. I also think, and you inherited your brain from them. And so all the stuff they said about you that were lies, you were also given a brain that already believed those lies. And so those lies are particularly impactful and hurtful because on some level, I already believe them. And so if I'm raised in an environment that's really damaging to me or hurtful to me, it's probably damaging and hurtful to me, partly because it would be damaging and hurtful to anybody, but also partly because I've probably given a brain that I already believed those bad things about myself since I inherited that brain from the same people who are telling me those bad things.
Yeah. So if you have some inherited thoughts, it seems like that's ripe for somebody saying, I now know who I can blame.
Right, exactly.
My previous generation or the previous generation before that, or I can take it all the way back to Adam and Eve.
Right, and there's even truth to it. But as I talk to my clients, they often say, Glenn, you almost never talk to me about the past. Why is that? All my other therapists want to talk on and on about the past. And I think, yeah, that's why I lose so many of my clients. No, because I don't want to talk much about the past. I only want to talk about the past long enough to know this. What's the lesson?
Mm-hmm.
The instant I look back and learn the lesson, I need to be done. When Jesus said, anybody who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom, again, I used to hear that as being like sort of mean-spirited. But now I just get, I can't live in the past. I can't move into the kingdom, which is breaking open in front of me, as Jesus said, while I'm living in the past. So I can learn the lesson from the past, but then I have to take that lesson and I have to move forward with that lesson. So let's say I believe, and I get that, I was born with the thought that I'm not good enough. Okay, that's true. Okay, now I know that. I know where that thought comes from. Okay, now I need to think, okay, what are all the things I can do right now going forward that can attack that thought and bring truth back into my brain? So, yes, we can blame our past, and lots of people like to wallow in the past, but that's just the way to not move forward, and Jesus was real clear about how we need to move forward.
Glenn, would you say that you don't have to learn too much about a person's past because they are living out their past in their present day?
Yes, right in front of us. So that's why I say the only thing that matters is, what lessons does that teach you? Patrick Carnes, one of my favorite writers in the field of sex addiction, used to say, people who are addictive don't make any more mistakes than the average person. That's not the problem. The problem is they keep making the same mistakes over and over again. And I think God doesn't care about my mistakes, but he sure cares about whether I learned something from those mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So a toddler takes a couple steps, falls down. We don't think, oh, that's terrible. We think, okay, keep going.
Right. But when you say God doesn't care about our mistakes, if we take out the word mistake and put in sin, he would certainly care about that.
Same thing. I love reading stories about people who have near-death experiences who die, cross over, and then come back and tell us about it. And they all say consistently that there's only two things we take with us, love and wisdom. So all the people that I loved on this side, I still love from the other side. And all the lessons that I learned, I take with me. Therefore, clearly, there are two reasons I'm here, to love one another, just like Jesus said, and to learn whatever I'm supposed to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I make mistakes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's a given. Even if I have the purest heart in the world and I'm just learning how to do something, I will make a lot of mistakes, like a little kid learning how to walk. Now, I could focus on those mistakes, which will keep me from moving forward, or I can learn from those mistakes and move forward. And from God's perspective, number two is the only real option.
Mm-hmm. So I'm still stuck on this inherent thing because
yep.
I'm thinking of a friend of mine whose mom and dad were so optimistic. I just never forgot how positive they were all the time.
Right.
You never saw them anything other than big smiles, big positive, big hellos, big you're doing great, all this thing.
Right.
And their kids went on to be enormously optimistic as well
right. mm-hmm.
and successful.
Right.
And I thought, I wish I had a little bit more of that that optimism.
Right.
And I'm not blaming my parents or anything, but just saying there's that spirit that I go, didn't they just learn that from being around that household?
You didn't.
I know.
So it can't possibly be true, right?
Yeah.
No, I meant it when I said, not jokingly, about I also believe in inherited goodness, that there are also positive traits. Like oftentimes people who meet me say, Glenn, you're so gentle. And I believe that to be true. And I think, And once again, you can look all the way back to my generation of family and find a whole bunch of really, really gentle people.
Okay.
And you can say, how did I learn that? And I'm pretty sure I didn't.
Okay. All right. Now, if we have a question for Dr. Glenn Pickering, give us a call. If you have questions that you have about these inherent thoughts we're talking about, this generational curses or generational goodness, and want to ask him, feel free. If you have a relationship issue, we'd certainly welcome that as well. 877-933-2484. I'll say that number again, even a little slower. 877-933-2484. We'll be back more, and hopefully there's some practical ways we can change our thinking process. Welcome back. It's 13 minutes till the top of the hour. Dr. Glenn Pickering is in studio with me, and boy, have the phones lit up. We've got so many callers on the line. We're going to try to move these through these as quickly as possible, Glenn.
Great.
First call is anonymous from White Bear Lake. Welcome to the program. You have a question for Dr. Glenn Pickering. Greetings.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. Do you have any practical ways that you as a parent of someone struggling with negative thoughts that lead to depression and anxiety, what are some practical ways that you can help?
Great question.
Great. It's a really great question. Number one, don't tell them they shouldn't think like that. That's just another negative thought. So if my kid says, I'm feeling really down, I feel bad, I might even feel like hurting myself, I could get all panicky, I could tell them not to think that, or I could very gently put my arm around them and say, boy, I'm really sorry to hear that that's true, so that they can feel like there's at least one person in the world who actually gets it, because we have so many of those feelings because we don't feel like anybody really gets us. So even if you can be that one person who gets them, doesn't argue with them, just understands them, we'll be way ahead of the game. Second, I'm going to ask that kid, when do you feel better? Not in the denial of the times they feel bad, but I'm going to ask them, when do you feel better? And they're going to tell me when they're listening to music or doing art or hanging out with their friends or who knows what. And I'm going to very gently say, great, how can we start incorporating more of that into our life? How can they help you with that?
Great, great question. Thank you so much for that question. Jill is calling in from Delano. Hello, Jill. Welcome to the show.
I love Delano.
Yeah, I do too.
Minnesota Y. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Of course.
I may have missed some of the broadcast up to this point, but are we talking about temperaments, even the four basic temperaments that are inherited?
There is some overlap between temperaments and our beliefs, yes. They're not totally different.
Okay.
So did you have a follow-up, Jill, a question?
Yes. Like, you know, I'm a teacher of the Word, and I just was teaching on, you know, the four basic temperaments of phlegmatic, choleric, melancholy, and sanguine. And so sanguine people are always really happy, very much people. You know, melancholies can be a little more deep thinkers and isolate themselves. And, you know, so when you're saying, and I see this run in families.
Oh, sure.
Temperaments. You know, like you're saying, you come from a long line of gentle people.
Right.
And
introverts and nerds.
My mother was Italian and my dad was Swedish, so they have two very, very, she was choleric and he was sanguine.
Right.
And
so if you think of that.
So there are times that I can, go ahead.
Well, so if you think of that as they had a very different set of beliefs about certain things, you wouldn't be very far off. And so, for example, if somebody says, well, Glenn, I'm really optimistic, okay, they have a certain set of beliefs about themselves and about the world that are different than people who tell me that they're pessimistic. And so partly that ends up in a temperament, but that's sort of a broader way of thinking. I'm talking about very specific beliefs that kind of lead to those sort of temperaments. And I believe the beliefs are what we mostly inherit. Uh-huh.
Thank you, Jill. Great question. Another caller, Ashley, is calling in from Hartford. I love Hartford. Welcome, Ashley, to the show. You have a question for Dr. Glenn.
Hello. No, I don't have a question. I actually just wanted to make a comment in regards of the conversation that's being taking place.
Okay.
Live. Just someone who has currently experienced a generational curse within mm-hmm. my family.
Right.
I come from a dysfunctional family, a mother who is an alcoholic, and that has contributed to my life as an adult.
Right.
Dealing with PTSD.
Right.
As well as having an emotionally induced disease. At the time, I didn't realize how bad my health was becoming.
Right.
Severely poor, and I was experiencing GAP syndrome, where it affected my gut flora wall.
Right, yep.
I was heavy into depression.
Right.
I've been in depression for almost 2 years, and it finally just completely wore down my body.
Right.
Where
I
was
bedridden.
It had a total
impact on us, right? Absolutely.
Absolutely. Where I was completely bedridden, I lost my faith. I started to disbelieve. And
right.
I felt demons on me. It was very, very hard, and I had to separate myself from work completely, and I didn't know if I was going to be able to make it. I was in and out of the hospital,
right.
And doctors kept telling me I had all sorts of problems,
right.
And come to find out, I had no problems. It was all stress and anxiety related to my gut flora wall, and I was feeling it neurologically, pain
right.
within my
yep.
body.
Yep.
And I had a hard time trying to change my thinking. So
right.
I knew I needed a lot of prayer
exactly.
and a lot of time and
yep.
patience.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people did not have patience with me.
Sure.
But God did get me through.
Good for you. I'm
through,
glad.
Through. Absolutely.
What's the most fundamental belief that you had to change?
My negative thoughts about myself.
That's what I thought.
I was being my
hear.
Own
right.
worst. Critic.
Exactly. And sometimes when people say that to me, well, Glenn, I'm my harshest critic. They almost say it with a note of pride. And I want to say to them, you understand that's satanic, right? God wants
yes.
me to see how precious I am. The evil one wants me to believe I'm not good enough. Right from the very beginning,
yes.
the serpent
yes.
wanted me to believe there's
yes.
something wrong with me. And so I love that you're
yes.
so clear, because all those thoughts I have that are bad about myself are not my thoughts and they're not God's. And I want to say to every listener out there and to you, those aren't true. What's true is that you're precious and amazing and created exactly the way God made you.
Yes, absolutely. Amen. You are absolutely right.
And I love that
there's
you're
coming. There's nothing wrong.
I know. You're perfect.
There's nothing wrong. And I just wanted to call in and say, looking on the outside
I love
in,
that. Thank you. Thank you.
Through prayer
thank you.
And through worship and
yep.
through therapy, I am so much happier. I don't have headaches.
Right.
My gut flora wall is so much better.
Yep.
I'm able to walk and function as normal.
Right.
I say what disease because God didn't bless me with that.
Exactly.
I'm perfectly fine
and
functional. So I just wanted to tell everyone else, keep believing and keep the faith because God is real.
God's fantastic.
But it starts within you. You have to want to change and just allow God to use you as a vessel.
Yeah. And the part that has to change is the way that we think about ourselves. Thank you.
Ashley, you are smart and insightful. You're not gunning for my job, are you?
No, not yet.
Okay, good. I'm relieved. All right, I'll sleep better tonight then. Thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome. Take care, guys. God bless.
Thanks. God bless you. Glenn, I don't know if we dealt with this, but a listener jumped on board a little late, and she said, when you say inherited, are you saying inherited by biology or through nurturing or the environment?
Totally about biology.
Okay.
Absolutely. We literally come into the world before we've experienced anything with a certain set of beliefs and idea and a brain that's wired a certain way.
I find this whole thing fascinating.
Well, for example, if you touch a little kid on the cheek, they do that rooting reflex and they turn towards that finger and start sucking on it. Every single kid does that. Why do they do it? They didn't learn it. Nobody taught it to them. They literally come into the world doing that, knowing that's what they're supposed to do. How do they know that?
Yeah. All right, Glenn, one thing I haven't done a very good job of today is reminding all of our listeners where they can track you down,
where they can learn
more about you, and that is at glennpickering.com. That's GLENNPICKERING.com. And you are extremely warm and generous. There's a place on your website where if you need a short consultation, you're willing to offer that.
Absolutely. Just click on it where it says, I want a 20-minute consultation. I'll get right back to you. We'll set it up.
That's fantastic. So I am fascinated by the inherent thoughts, and I know people have climbed in their car late, so they missed the first thing you said about the birds flying, and I want you to repeat that just for the people who just missed that and climbed into their car, because I find that fascinating.
Right. Yep. There was a story about these geese who fly south of the winter every year to the same place. One year that place was dried up, so they went to a different place. They come back up north here in the springtime, have babies, and in the fall, those babies automatically fly to the new place because they inherited the brain that knew that.
Oh, yeah, I'm fascinated by that.
Right. Now, so last thought. So people might say, Glenn, how do I get rid of those lies? And I think we need to be any place where we hear the truth. If Christian music moves you and makes you cry, it's because it reminds you of what's true. If you're in worship and you hear a sermon that makes you cry, it's because it reminds you of what's true. If you're with a friend, if you're holding a baby, if you lift somebody up, if you compliment somebody else, if you're at prayer and you feel God's loving presence around you and it makes you almost want to cry, it's because you're back to the sweet truth about just how precious you actually are to the one who loves us all.
I love it. So if we need to have truth spoken into our lives.
Right.
We do that through God's word. And
we do. And we lift each other up. The Bible talks a lot about how we lift each other up. Paul talks in Philippians 4 about whatever is good, whatever is wonderful, whatever is excellent. Think about these things. We need to remind each other what's great and wonderful about us because it's so easy to believe a lie. We need our friends and the people that love us to keep reminding us of what's true about us so that we're amazing and gifted and blessed exactly as we
Mm-hmm. I love that idea that if you are moved to tears over music or a sermon or holding a new baby, that you're being reminded of what's true.
Right, which makes us want to cry for joy because it's so perfect and so true.
Yeah, yeah, Glenn, I always love when you come into the studio.
Cool.
And I always feel a little bad when you leave the studio because I know the traffic you're going to get yourself into trying to get home. So I know you are really, you really do go the extra mile to come here to be with us. Dr. Glenn Pickering has been my guest. Please go to his website, glennpickering.com. You can find out all about his writing and his books and his teaching and his counseling. And you can get all kinds of information at glennpickering.com. That wraps up our show. Tomorrow is going to be fantastic. Dr. Mark Muska will be in studio, Ask the Professor, as will Becky Patton. We'll be talking about holy sexuality in tomorrow's show. That will not be a show for little ears. But anyway, have a great evening, everyone. Good night, and God bless. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.